Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, just launched on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. As they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Not everyone has what it takes.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Starting.
I guess we're starting.
Whoa! Well, I'm Carrie.
Hi, I'm Lara. Welcome again to
Thank You. High Society.
thank you. The podcast about high society.
Welcome again to My Name is Lindsay Lohan. We have a lot to talk about, actually.
We fucking have a shitload to talk
about. We were just talking about a meme that Lara posted on her Instagram that killed me, and I've seen other people posting it.
The best meme of the week.
Can you explain it?
It is a picture of Ellen DeGeneres, and it says
she's looking mischievous.
She's like, she's just gonna pull a prank. And it says me on Ellen, and then Ellen says, "So I hear you love Chernobyl," and then you say, "Yeah," and then it hears nuclear blasts in the distance, and you go, "Ellen, you did not just do that." Ellen would 100% Chernobyl. Yeah. Everyone is a joke.
I scared you.
She would scare us with Chernobyl.
Well, we were talking about how, like,
she loves to instill fear in the hearts of her guests. Millions. Yeah.
Her celebrity, friends. Her famous celebrity guests that come on. She has, like, clowns and, like, scarecrows and, like, people dressed like ghosts pop out of that, like,
Coffee table.
Yeah, like, the bot, or they, like, come out and they sneak up behind them.
Yeah.
And it was cute the first few times, but now I'm like,
it's like a tactical power move.
Like, I don't think Jennifer Aniston wants to get scared.
No. You know, they probably talked one time in Mexico, like, Jen was a little stoned, and she was like, "Hey, can I talk to you for a sec?" And she was like, "Can we just, like, cancel the scaring from here on?" Like, it was fun.
Me.
It was fun. I had a good time.
It was great.
It was great. But from here on out, I'd just love for you to not scare me on the show.
Yeah. I'm coming on. I'm just promoting my Netflix movie with Adam Sandler.
And like, just,
I don't need to be scared.
We'll just talk about, we can talk about anything you anything. Want. Anything.
Anything.
I'll you go, name it. I will talk about anything, but just please don't scare me.
I'll go do that thing where you like talk to me in the earpiece and I go talk to like unsuspecting employees who are just trying to do their job at Jamba Juice and like have me say weird things to them and embarrass them. I'll do that. I'll go to Jamba Juice.
But no scare, please.
No scares.
And then Ellen goes, All right.
And then later that night, Jen was stoned walking back to her villa and she heard a rustling in the bushes.
She goes, Ellen? Is that you?
Ellen. And then Ellen went, and Jennifer blacked out.
Yeah.
She collapsed.
She blacked out, hit her head, had to get airlifted to Cedars.
Mm-hmm.
But she made a full recovery. It was just a mild concussion. And then she was airlifted back to Cabo.
I don't need the scares. Oh, yeah. She went back to Cabo. She still had 4 days left.
Yeah. She's always back to Cabo.
They rented the resort out.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that story of her plane? They had to land it.
The wheel fell off or something?
Yeah. And she was like, it was like full of famous people and Jennifer Aniston.
I really hope no one's plane crashes.
I'm flying tomorrow.
You're going to be fine.
It would be great.
It would be great if you were fine.
Right? It would be awesome.
I would love for you to survive.
Well, I want to survive because I want to stay alive so I can track this Lindsay Lohan saga happening. So the news is not good for all of you who listen to Lohan Island.
Yeah, I guess Lohan Island
is a one-time deal.
It's a one-time wonder.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's iconic.
Yeah.
And we still have a lot of following up to do.
We do.
We still have to check in with the Federation.
The Federation! Well, I have an update. I went on Mike's... So Mike, Hot Mike.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bisexual
Mike.
I went on his... He did an Instagram Live yesterday, and it was him talking about, you know,
the
season
news.
2. And he was like, guys, I don't know what to tell you. You know... I think we did a great job. Like,
that he's talking about it when he was like kicked off.
I know. He was like,
I don't know what to tell you.
He was like, I knew the whole time that like this wasn't going to be the thing that defines my career. And like other people were more worried about it than I was.
Smart.
I was like, guys, we need to relax. Like, this is going to be, he was being realistic. And he was like, I had a great time. I made some really good friends. And he wished Lindsay well. He was
that's
a gentleman.
That's big of him.
Especially after what she did to him.
Yeah. Psychological torture.
And broke his spirit and penalized him on the last day and
sent him away.
While everyone else got to party.
Yeah.
She first, I will never forget that she made sure that he knew the agenda for everyone that day was to just be pampered and like get blackout.
And then looked for his face and couldn't find it. And then was relegated. I guess went and sat in a van for 8 hours.
Yeah.
Or just went to the airport.
I think he went straight to the airport.
That sucks. I would have flipped out on a show if someone did that to me.
But yeah, so they're like, they don't. So Lindsay, so basically, I think Page Six broke the story that Lohan Beach Club will not be returning to MTV. They can't find a network or like a streaming service for it. So it's just floating in.
But it's not even filmed.
No.
Yeah.
And Lohan Beach Club also is closed.
Yeah, and so then Lindsay retaliated against Page Six by stating, like, attacking them, saying, why don't you write about something real for once?
Why don't you write about what I'm actually doing? And she posted a photo of, Syrian refugee children. And she was like, while you were writing these lies about me, I was helping this children. She said, this children.
And it's like a stock, it's like some family Sears portrait photo that she just like Googled online. Yeah.
Focus on the good things in life, not just the tabloids.
While you were busy writing lies.
I was writing wrongs.
Because she deleted her original post and then then she was like, came back guns blazing with her Sears photo shoot photo.
But I love, she's completely just using refugee children as fodder for like sympathy and as weapons.
She loves the children.
She loves to weaponize refugees.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing this.
She loves to try and tear refugees away from their families in the streets of Paris.
Yeah.
Till she gets punched in the face.
And cries alone on the pavement.
I think an all-time low, which I still can't believe no one had made a bigger deal about that.
That was almost...
That was truly...
I think that was out of... I think that was too dark for everyone to really process. And I think everyone collectively, unconsciously...
We're going to let this one...
Yeah, they were all like... You know, I think I'm just going to forget about this. Because it was... I remember watching it before bed. Like, I was in bed with my retainer in. And I, like, had my glasses, like...
Down on your nose.
Yeah, my pimple cream on.
Going over your...
Yeah.
Agendas.
And I think I just watched it. The story broke at, like, midnight. Like, it came out and people were tweeting about it. And I just watched the video and I was like... And I, like, put the phone on my chest, turned my light off, and just was like, wow. That is the lowest of the low.
I've never seen anything like that.
Her crying on the street and, like, turning the camera and just going, I'm just so scared. Like, I was like, wow.
Like, she went from a fashion show to that in a matter of hours.
She was like YSL, living large.
Did she run out of the fashion show and just start trolling the streets?
I think she had been at a club.
Okay.
And was either in a car or walking home alone, passed by this homeless family, and just, like, something decided to live stream it. Like, she clearly was... She was very sober, we'll say. and literally chasing a family who would rather be on the street than be in a hotel room with her.
Yeah.
The mom kept going, no. I mean, anyway, but...
It's... Yeah, I guess everyone just gave her a darkness pass.
But, like,
you know that you fucked up when people won't even, like, talk about what you did.
Yeah.
Like, if you get, like, that's when you know it's really bad.
I mean, people, I think, are desensitized to her, you know, parade of woe.
Mm-hmm.
But even that was, like, stunning.
Yeah.
People sometimes I wonder, too, people will tweet, like, are we all forgetting that Lindsay Lohan did this?
People forget, like, everyone is just like, okay. But I think this is, I mean, every time some sort of news emerges about Lindsay,
yeah,
I think to myself, she's gone.
Yeah.
And I've thought that a million times, yet she persists. So, like, I would actually vote for Lindsay to be president.
You would?
Yeah.
I mean, right about now.
If you had the choice between Lindsay Lohan or Donald Trump, it would be Lindsay.
It would be Lindsay, and then I would...
She'd be a great first female president.
Yeah. At this point, I think
she probably has better international policy.
She does. I mean, she has the Turkish president by the ear.
Yeah. She and Putin get along famously. I wish that she would run for president against Donald Trump.
I mean, that would be sweet revenge for her after the comments he said about her.
Oh, true.
But, like, she has her hand in Dubai.
Mm-hmm. Oil money. Got it on lock.
But anyway, so Lindsay is, like, in denial about season two. So I guess we'll wait and see, and we'll monitor. If you guys have any info, let us know.
I know, because I'm sad because I was told that it was going to be, there was definitely a season two, but it was, like, featuring her family, which that would have really done a lot for me.
Maybe we'll get just a Lohan reality show.
I mean, if she's so smart, she should do that.
I feel like
it's time to pivot.
Yeah, I feel like that could be borderline, like, remember when the Carters did that show? Like, Nick and Aaron and their sisters.
Oh, yeah. That was not... That was too dark for me. I couldn't even watch that. I gave that a darkness pass. That was where I was like, I don't really get this, nor do I like it.
No.
And then I was like, something feels wrong.
Something was amiss.
And then I just, like, detached.
I don't even...
is someone who watched, like, every season of Celebrity Rehab.
Did you just see the wheels turning in my head that maybe we should recap it? But I think it's too... I don't want to put...
Well, it's sad because one of them died.
Yeah, I think that's foreboding.
I know.
But I think I feel like somehow, not the death part, but I feel like somehow Lohan family could sort of, I don't know.
It has Living the makings Lohan. Of something iconic.
That's our next one.
Yeah. Aliana. They should do one around Aliana and her rise to like stardom. Make her the center piece.
Her blue-eyed soul.
Her blue-eyed soul. And
have you seen her, like, she sings like...
She loves like an acoustic...
Summertime! Her like acapellas.
She does. It's oh, like, God. Mm, is her voice good?
Mm. Yeah. Mm. But like, mine's fine.
Yeah. You know?
It's like, she's. If I heard her singing, I'd be like, oh.
I could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lindsay had a more distinct voice.
Yeah.
But
she had that like raspy, but like it sounded like her speaking voice.
I was going to suggest maybe for a possible recap, and I don't want to quote myself.
Yeah.
I don't want to like commit to something, but maybe we could do a recap of her BBC documentary about going to India, which the wildest shit I've ever seen.
I've actually never seen that because I don't think. I like DVR'd it at the time, and then I didn't know where to watch it.
It's on YouTube.
Okay, that could be an episode of Lohan Island.
It is. I don't even want to go into it, but it is the wildest shit I've ever seen. It was Lindsay's.
I remember it happening what the fuck?
She was still famous, and it was like, but she had major damage, and I think it was her, like, before the tier of infamy that she lives in now, mm-hmm. It was like she still had some credibility, and she decided to do this last-ditch effort for, like...
To, like, save face.
Yeah.
And, like, rehab her public image.
And she... There's, like, a town in India that, like, has banned her because they... She claimed that she saved a town from being killed.
Oh, I remember that.
By like an unseen force. And they were like, that didn't happen.
This is a really deep cut because I do remember all these claims and like what she was saying, but I don't think I ever watched it. But yeah, I mean.
She had like a bindi on her forehead and was just like running around.
I love that.
Like,
but the children are my life. I love children. Being next to children is the most important thing, better than being on set for me. Which is a lot to say.
Children are my new set.
Children are my new set life. Refugees are my new set life.
Being on set is like a drug, and children are better than that.
Yes.
So children are better than drugs.
Give me an idea of that. Helping children, helping refugees, and helping the Federation.
For the Federation.
Oh my God. Also, we need to just have a moment and say that we have been officially contacted.
Okay, guys.
Guys, things have got taken a serious turn.
Okay.
So this week I was contacted by one of the cast members of High Society, and I can't really say much, but I can say that I'd like to correct a few things that we had said on the last episode, which are... This person did not get a new face.
No.
They only made a tweak to their nose.
That
was clarified.
A tweak to the nose.
Tweak to the nose. And
no
they
colored
do
contacts.
Not wear colored contacts.
So that was my bad.
Yeah, you're at fault for that one. But so I just wanted to let you guys know. And so since there's been some drama.
And some vague threat of legal action. Not legal action, but
no, but I think a restraining order
was mentioned.
There's been some back and forth with both of us and this person.
I was BCC'd twice, and then today
Carrie took matters into his own hands and got stern, and I love that. For us and for me.
I was defending you.
It was stern and respectful, yet forceful.
I said the facts.
And you deal in facts.
And I used some bold font.
Yeah.
Literally.
Mm-hmm. And you clarified a few things.
I said, let me reiterate, colon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was business as usual.
But.
So.
And I signed it with best.
Yeah, that was a power move.
Which I think you did too. Or no, you said yours.
I think I just said X because that's like usually how I sign off.
You were really stern too and factual.
I was stern and factual, but I also was like leaving a door open
for dialogue.
And then it turned out that there was no dialogue to be had. And that's when Carrie had to step in.
No introspection.
No.
No. Accountability. Dare I say.
It was a really, really
wild string
that may or may not be over. I hope that it's over.
Me too.
I pray to God that it's over.
Me too.
Because
when you first notified me that this individual had contacted you, I thought you were kidding.
I know. And I was shook. I was shook when I got a notification and then opened it to see that this is a long email that I had gotten. And I was like chilled to my core. And I needed to share it like with my affiliate, Carrie O'Donnell.
Yes. Affiliate was mentioned.
So from here on out, also, we decided just to like be like err on the side of safety.
Yeah.
That we're no longer going to be using this person's name. Mm-hmm. And instead, we're going to call them
Yulia.
I'm Yulia Derby.
So Yules is our new. Just out of respect, and you know, I get it. Like, I mean, I don't get it.
I mean, no, I don't get it.
Actually, I don't.
I'm really unclear.
If you're maybe putting together who we're, but
yeah,
we also I'm just the co-host. So, but I was saying that we should probably really just plead with everyone to
please do not troll. No trolling, yeah. No harassment. And honestly, the less interaction, the better.
It's better to observe from afar.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everyone is so smart and like hilarious that follow your podcast, and the messages we get on the daily are
truly incredible.
Joyful.
And I love the readers.
You guys are all fucking brilliant.
You guys are really good at sourcing out what's what.
And just being on the same wavelength, but also.
But this is like flying. This is when it's officially like flying too close to the sun.
Yeah.
And like,
it's like the animal, not the animal, but the whatever we're observing has noticed us. Mm-hmm. And now we're found out.
Yeah.
So
it's better to live under afar. The radar.
Yeah.
From afar.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that
also, I don't want to get sued.
I really don't want to get sued.
I have
there's
no job
nothing
right now.
To sue me for.
No, there's nothing that we can be sued for. But when you're dealing with someone who might
get litigious on a bitch.
Mm-hmm. When you're dealing with I need to speak to the manager.
We fully got managered.
We got Kate Gosling hair. I'm going to speak to the manager.
I really need to speak to the manager right now. Like,
and there's like, you guys need
this
to
is like really fucked up.
It's fucked up that like you guys can't do your job. And like, in America, we spell things not upside down.
Thanks.
So like, thank you so much.
So like, could you maybe like try and clean for once and not do the crappy job you would normally do?
Oh my God, I just got chills. Not do the crappy job that you guys like normally do. Thank you very much. So yeah, no harassing anyone.
No harassing. Don't even mention anything.
Yeah.
Let's just like call it. Like, we'll just do a full government shutdown. Mm-hmm. On any sort of like social media, anything. Yeah.
Because also, like, I just think we've all been guilty of trolling. All of us. We've all trolled. I troll. Sometimes I'm like, why did I just tweet that, you know, about someone? But
yeah.
It really is, at the end of the day, like, we're just poking fun.
This is a comedy podcast.
Yeah, we're just lolling. And
we're
like,
lolling.
We don't want anyone to be hurt. We don't want anyone to feel like they're being bullied, even if they've said some and done some fairly unforgivable things.
Yeah.
Just going to say that.
Yeah.
But people are still humans and they have their limits. So let's just be respectful and loll together.
We'll loll together.
Respectfully.
And, you know, this iteration of Sex Unique Podcast is about a show called High Society, which is what we talk about on this podcast.
We do.
So that's that.
Thank you. Final words.
Thank you so much. That's that.
Yeah.
And that's that.
And that's fucking that.
And that's that with Lara Marie Shainhalls and Kerry O'Donnell.
Kiri.
Kiri. Kiri O'Donnell.
What if I signed it Best Kiri?
Kiri. Best Kiri. K-I-R-I.
Best Kier. Kier. I feel like I've gotten that as a star. Oh my God, really fast. I have a Trenta update. Guys.
Oh my God. Yeah, your Trenta shit has really taken off.
So I really appreciate all of the Trenta support I've been getting.
You feel seen by the Trenta girl community.
Dan Pelosi, who was
the original Trenta girl,
was very moved. I think he's even gotten someone. I think someone just, he sent me, someone just randomly messaged him and just wrote, and just wrote Trenta. And he was like, he goes, I'm shook. Like he's getting Trented. But the Trenta brand is strong. This week was, you know, I needed some extra coffee this week. And
so
I went to my drive-thru, yeah. And I was just, you know, I've been tired, blah, 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 you know, don't have a job, just doing it, going mm-hmm. through it. And I, yesterday, I went to, pulled up this one barista who's at the drive-in window, always knows who I am. She's really sweet. And she was handing me the Trenta, and she said, damn, you know, a Trenta with 3 shots of espresso for a few days in a row, like, we're all worried about you.
Oh my God.
And I was like,
because you were getting a cold brew with 3 shots.
I was getting a Trenta iced coffee with 3 shots of espresso, cinnamon powder, and half and half.
And wow.
I got it a few days in a row, and mm-hmm. she said that
needed a bigger coffee.
She said we're all concerned. And I literally was like, oh my God. Like, I have been fully clocked.
You crossed the Trenta threshold.
Yeah, I've been found out.
Your name is on a list in Starbucks. It's like you're on suicide watch.
I know, and I was wondering, I was like, maybe they have in their training, they like watch out for like orders.
They're like, erratic. If someone gets 3 Trentas in a row, yeah. please reach out and say something. They give you like a card.
I wonder if they do. If they're like people's orders dramatically like change, like check on their wellness check.
Yeah, do a wellness check. If anyone's ever worked at Starbucks, confirm or deny that this is true, because I believe that it could be true.
I mean, when I worked at Cold Stone, people would come in with sunglasses on and mm-hmm. order a gotta have it PB&C milkshake.
Yeah, I mean...
And I'd be like, I would... You don't have to have your sunglasses on because...
I see you.
This is great.
Yeah.
And I would have this too.
Mm-hmm.
But... Yeah, so then I was like, no, yeah, I'm just tired. And then mm-hmm. she was like, it's all good. And then she went back into the hut or the...
Yeah, that tiny little area.
And I heard her talking to the other barista who I see all the time. And I heard her go, he just must be really tired. So they were like continuing to talk about me.
They did a wellness check on you.
They were... Yeah.
Wow.
And I went,
I love your Trenta community. Right? That's actually really nice.
Yeah. I was shaken and I considered going back to Venti. But you know what? No.
No. Trenta girl for life. Once you're a Trenta girl, you're never not a Trenta girl.
But then I was talking to my best friend last night on the phone, who's he was also concerned. And he said, why don't you go back down to 2? He goes, take away 1 tomorrow. And I did. Today I only got 2.
Did they smile?
No.
No, they were
too busy. Okay. But I was...
In rush hour, no one gets wellness checks.
But yeah, so that was... But for everyone supporting me, the listeners supporting me on my Trenta journey, thank you.
That's so nice.
Yeah. Trenta girl.
Trenta girl for life.
Someone tweeted me, they try to cut down a Trenta girl, but we keep going. That's another... And still, she persists. Nevertheless,
she ordered Trentas.
I called it going into the Trenta ether.
You're literally in that Natalie Portman movie, Annihilation.
I am.
You're
at the
end of Annihilation in the lighthouse.
There's a skeleton.
You are the orb.
Yeah.
That is what happens when you order a Trenta.
You hear, boom, 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 boom.
And then, like, someone that you know just becomes, like, a liquid.
Yeah.
Like... figure.
Jennifer Jason Leigh opens her mouth and turns into a ball of orb light.
Yeah. That's the barista. That's what happens with the barista. That's
where I'm heading.
That one drive-through that you go to is the lighthouse.
Yeah. I'm slowly walking.
You're Natalie and the barista is Jennifer Jason Leigh.
I'm slowly walking to the lighthouse and there's just littered with skeletons and bones.
Yeah.
Of, like, those who've trented before. And I'm like, here I go.
I'm setting up, like, a tripod yeah. phone to film you.
Yeah.
As you, like, fully descend.
Self-immolate.
Into Trentadom.
But I'm fine.
You're fine.
Yeah. But it was pretty insane.
I love like a little intervention like that.
Uh-huh.
It's just a check-in.
That was like when I was living at home with my parents and after college, and I didn't have a job for a year, and I switched Dunkin' Donuts because the one Dunkin' Donuts I went to, the girl at the cashier said, "Wow, you come here so much."
And then that was time to.
And I was like. So then I drove an extra 10 minutes to avoid her because I was like, I have job opportunities.
I have a life.
I have a life.
I have a life. I work.
I have freelance opportunities.
I'm
working on getting a job. Like, I literally was like.
You got defensive. Yeah. You had to retreat.
I offensively ordered one time and I was like. Gotta cut it off.
We're done here.
We're done. So then I went to one with like that was across the street from like a cemetery. That's where I went. Wow, you come here so much. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I'm driving my mother's Nissan Rogue.
Doesn't everyone go to Dunkin' Donuts so much? Isn't that like the thing with yeah. Dunkin' Donuts is you go a
yeah,
lot?
It's like a yeah. Boston thing.
Yeah.
It's like a neighborhood thing. We're all family at TV.
Come on over to Dunkin'.
Ben Affleck always has a Dunkin' Donuts. Do you see the photos of him?
Yeah.
He looks so hot.
Really?
I think he's...
He's
leaned out.
I've never really...
You've never been a Ben guy?
No, I don't think so, no. He's never really done it for me. Him and what's his face?
Damon?
Yeah, I was just like, okay. I was never like super one way or the other.
No.
If I had to choose between them, I would definitely choose Affleck, but yeah. like...
Because Matt Damon seems like he would just yell at me.
Yeah. He'd yell at you, tell you're wrong, and then like mansplain something.
Yeah, and talk about like the unions.
He'd talk down to you.
He would talk to you about like the teachers union and just like make you cry.
He's always trying to like unionize.
Yeah. I feel like Joel-Kim Booster, who's like one of the funniest people alive, mm-hmm. tweeted something about like how afraid he is of Matt Damon.
Yeah, I'm actually
something
afraid.
Like, I think about how often I'm afraid of Matt Damon or something. And I was just like, that is so, I'm afraid of him.
Yeah. Like even saying this out loud, I got a little bit of fear.
Have you seen the video where he mansplains something to like a protester?
Wasn't that on that HBO show?
It was like,
he was like to Ava DuVernay, I thought.
Maybe. I saw one where he was like at some rally and like, he's very liberal, but like someone who was a teacher
mm-hmm.
was explaining to him why some of his points weren't right or something. And then
that's not okay with Matt.
He said, my mom is a teacher. Like, here's what I know. And that's what is right. And this woman was like, okay, but you're not right.
You don't argue with Matt Damon.
He won an Oscar.
When he comes in and tells you what to do, you do it.
I cannot believe that him and Ben Affleck have an Oscar.
Good Will Hunting was a good movie.
It was great.
It was a really good movie.
It was great.
Like, honestly, it was.
Robin Williams was...
great in it.
It's not your fault.
Yeah. That scene...
Minnie Driver.
Powerful. I was thinking about Minnie Driver the other day because I thought I saw her at La Scala, but it wasn't her. It was just, like, a random that kind of looked like her. And then I just thought, like, what a pleasure it would have been if it had been her.
I stand for Minnie Driver.
Yeah. I'm here for it.
Do you know she and I are Twitter friends?
What?
She follows me.
Of course she does. Why wouldn't she?
She followed me after Not Tilda Swinton.
She loves your humor.
I tweeted... okay, this is not a... well, this is a brag.
Yeah, just brag.
I'm bragging.
Brag
Minnie Driver
away.
Follows me on Twitter and has interacted with me before.
That's huge.
And when she followed me after I did this parody account about Not Tilda Swinton, about Tilda Swinton, I messaged her and I said, I'm a fan. Circle of friends.
Good Will
Hunting.
That.
And she wrote... I thought you were a lesbian poet in the Hudson Valley. She's like, so crazy to know that you're just a gay guy.
She's like, a loller.
Like, I was like, damn, that is so fun. Like she
is here yeah. to lol.
It was great.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I wonder if she listened to Lohan Island.
Probably not.
No.
But she's just a very classy.
She's a classy
talented
broad.
Accent.
Yeah.
Talented
actress. Talented actress.
But yeah, Minnie Driver, I mean, it has the TWC written all over it, but that movie, but
yeah. But oh well.
But oh well.
Lots of movies did.
Yeah.
And you know what? What?
Shakespeare in Love.
Oh yeah. You know what? Even high society has TWC.
A great leeway.
Fucking all over it.
Or Segway, not leeway.
Yeah.
Leeway?
Segway. Sawa.
Wow, this episode of High Society, episode 4, is, I think, the darkest episode.
It's has a lot. There's a lot of sadness. There's another trip to the library.
Mm-hmm. We start out with Tinsley's getting her hair done.
Tinsley, her voiceover begins and she goes, "The social calendar never stops. The thing about the world is that goes on without you."
Yeah, so you better buck up and
get
show
ready.
Up.
Yeah. So she's like getting her hair done.
I will say the temporal like element to the show makes no sense. They'll be like Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Flashback. So Tinsley's getting her hair done and then goes Saturday morning.
They love like a rewind.
Tinsley's getting ready for the
there's another event.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. There's just so many events. Life is one big event.
Life is a cabaret.
Life is a cabaret so for Tinsley's everyone on still, the show.
Tinsley's still coming down from her Dale, like, accosting her at...
She says, "Cassie ran off, and I haven't heard from him since." So, basically, you're not dating anymore.
Yeah.
Or you're dating, like, an asshole.
She's getting her hair curled.
She's getting curls. She loves her curls.
She loves, like, a party girl, like...
She loves just like a loose curl,
yeah,
with a side bang and maybe like a jaunty little braid thrown in for like peak girliness.
Yeah.
Curl it up,
she says.
Curl me.
So she's going to the opera tonight. It's a really big event at Lincoln Center, which I've catered at. I've actually catered at the ballet.
Oh,
the
love that.
And I saw Martha Stewart.
Chic. Did you give her anything?
No, I was holding trash. She was screaming to someone named Kathy.
I love that.
And then she walked by me and looked at me like I was trash.
Well... You were holding it.
I was.
So it's okay.
Yeah.
You'll have your... No, I was... I believe you'll have your moment with Martha.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I was like, devastate me. Do it.
Read me.
Read me.
Read me.
Drag me, Martha. Drag me, Martha.
Drag me, queen.
Drag me, queen.
Slay.
I'm ready. Slay. Yes, honey.
Drag me to hell, queen, honey.
Paul is puttering around his apartment.
Mm-hmm, on the Upper West Side.
In the Upper West Side. It's very grandmother apartment.
Yeah, it's cozy.
It's cozy, but in the way that it's like your grandmother that never leaves her apartment anymore and like refuses to meet you anywhere.
Yeah.
And so you just like go to her house because she's kind of like a shut-in.
It has like a corner. It's very like 101 Dalmatians. Like,
yeah.
Where they live before they get together.
Mm-hmm.
There's like... You know, like cozy.
Like a little like
a flat
bay window.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has a bay window.
He has a bay window and a green couch.
Paul calls Tinsley and somehow knows about that she's going to the opera.
Yeah.
That's everyone in New York apparently knows what Tinsley Mortimer is up to. And Paul says he calls her and asks if he can style her because he's worked at like Paper Magazine. He's had a fashion line. Like
he worked at Vogue.
He worked at Vogue.
And this is his plan. He says he has a plan that is going to put him back on the map.
Yeah.
And that's styling Tinsley for the opera.
First stop, styling Tinsley Mortimer.
Yeah. 100%. This is the map. This mm-hmm. is Paul. Welcome to the map. You're on it.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
So he calls Tinsley and she's like, he's like, "Can I dress you for..." And he's like, you can tell he's a little nervous to ask her.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a pause. And then she goes, yeah, sure.
Yeah, totally.
Cool.
It's nice of her to let him have this, but it's also, this is like a storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was like, some producer was like, "Do it."
Yeah.
And she was like, "Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah."
They're like, "Paul's going to dress you for the event." And she's like, "Hell no. Fuck that." And then they're like, "No, for the show, Tinsley. You can wear whatever you want." She's like, "Oh, okay."
Cool.
And so then she's like, when do we do the scene? Oh, now? Oh, okay. He's going to call me?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Great. I'll hear you.
Okay. Okay. Ready?
Hi, Paul. So she's like, "I like color, baby. I like summer.
I'm a girly girl."
Girly girl.
And then she's like, he's like, She says, and I'm a size 2 or sample size, which she makes sure to get in there, which, and you know, if I was her, I would do too.
I can say it.
Yeah. Let them know.
Let them know.
Let a bitch know that you're sample size.
Yeah. Eat your heart out.
What is it like to be sample size?
I don't know.
You're just so thin that anything that you wear just slides onto your body and fits you perfectly.
I like how she said it. Like it was just, that's like a thing.
Yeah.
Cause in this, in high society, we are to believe that everyone, including children, you know, household name, and everyone knows what Tinsley is a sample size.
Everyone knows who Tinsley is.
Yeah.
And all you have to do to, like, get a dress on her is just pick out whatever the sample size is, which is, like, a 2 or a 0.
Yeah. God bless her.
Sample size is such a troll to the rest of the world.
It's very Trenta.
It's so Trenta.
Yeah. Tinsley's a Trenta girl.
She's a total Trenta girl.
So then Paul's like, great, gonna do that.
Yeah, he's really excited. He's gonna go pull some looks for Tins.
The day's looking good for Paul.
Back to the library for Dale.
Dale's now going to seems like a private apartment building.
Yeah.
To a genealogist.
Dale is determined to get answers about Kazi's background.
She
won't rest until she knows.
Right. She found a book, as we know, that has some incriminating information about Casimir's great uncle.
And I like that she found a book that we can never know what the title of it is blurred. Or the cover because it's blurred out the entire time.
But it's red and black, which I think Nazi colors.
Total Nazi colors. So Dale is like, she's back on her detective tip.
She goes, Tom.
What's his name? Tom.
Yeah, to the genealogist. Am I to believe or am I to know that my daughter is dating someone with a Nazi background? And he goes, his great uncle, Heinrich.
Nazi name, if you ask me.
Was a member of the German Air Force during World War II. And her face, she's like, her eyes twitching. And he goes, but he was not a member of the Nazi party. So she's like,
you can fight for your country, but then not be a Nazi.
And he said, that's correct. So he never like, you know, swore an oath to Hitler.
And then it like closes up on this like genealogist printout of a family tree. And it says that name and it says no issue.
No issue. So then Dale goes, well, Casimir is what I thought. He's definitely a prince, but there's not a lot of money. There's not a lot of land. And
No jewels. No crown. Not a lot of land.
I love that. Not a lot of land.
But at least he's not a Nazi.
Yeah.
That should be someone's Tinder bio.
Yeah. Not a lot of land. No jewels.
That's actually mine.
Do it. But not a Nazi.
No money, no jewels, no crown, not a lot of land.
Yeah.
But not a Nazi.
No,
at least I'm not a Nazi.
Your Tinder should be no PNP and no Nazis.
No PNPs, guys. Stop asking me.
Stop.
Stop.
PNP, see your way out.
PNP, see you next Tuesday.
Yeah. No PNP, no Nazis, not a lot of land.
Not a lot of land. No jewels, no crown.
No crown. But definitely a prince.
But a prince.
Yeah. So Dale's like, all right. So she kind of like saunters off, and that's the only time we see Dale in that episode.
Yeah. We just needed to like tie up her investigation. So her episode of Law and Order, special Dale unit, has come to a close.
But
I still feel like she's going to try and intervene some other way.
I think she will too. But I love that slow. Tom,
I need you to tell me.
If my daughter is dating someone with a Nazi background. One more time. A Nazi background.
She goes, give it to me straight, Tom.
Give it to me straight, Tom. I need to know if my Tinsley, is dating someone with a Nazi background.
Her outfit, too, is stunning, as per usual. She turns it the fuck out.
Dale should be a Real Housewife of New York.
I also am just impressed by anyone that goes to like a random meeting dressed in a tailored suit with like a fur collar.
Makeup impeccable.
Hair flawless.
Face plastic surgery unbelievable.
Beautiful facelift.
She looks better than She looks. She dresses better than Tinsley.
She dresses better than Tinsley, and her body is bodacious.
She's a fox.
She poured herself into that gown and just showed up at a gala. And you only do that if you're the fucking hottest woman on the planet, and your name is Dale Mercer.
God, I wish.
And
I
you
knew
are trying to confront a Nazi. She should have been in Inglourious Basterds.
Oh my God,
that was a full missed opportunity.
I think Dale is anti-Trump.
I would like to think so as well.
I think she doesn't like Nazis. I think she's like a Bush Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's like, we are, you know, this is beneath us. Like we are an aristocratic Republicans.
Yeah.
She's a Ronald Reagan Republican.
She loved Reagan.
She loved Reagan.
Reagan
years.
Was, the Reagan years were good to Dale.
You know, Dale's cool. She's not racist. Cool. She likes, I mean, maybe a little. Yeah, she's
a little bit.
A little bit.
But she likes to clarify that she
allegedly.
She always likes to preface any sort of like potentially problematic interactions with, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
It's not your fault. I just don't like the paint.
She likes gays.
It's really like a service.
Uh-huh.
Ish, like a household service worker. The help.
Yeah.
That get the brunt of any sort of like
Dale
shenanigans.
It's not your fault.
It's not a blue Tinsley. Make him stop. Make him stop.
Sir, it is not your fault.
It's not your
man.
Fault. It's not your fault. She just doesn't like
sir,
the blue.
She likes the gays. Probably doesn't think they should get married, but like they dress her well. And
yeah.
Fun. She's gone out to some gay bars.
Definitely. She's the toast of the gay.
Yeah.
Like a circuit party.
She's like a drag queen.
She's really reminiscent of Patricia Altschul.
Yes.
She and Patricia are very... I wonder if they know each other.
Maybe.
They're both from the South.
She loves like a Savannah drag bar.
Loves Savannah. Oh,
cabaret.
Dale's been there. Known to like sing a little ditty. Get up on stage and just sing when the saints go marching in.
I love the queens.
I love them.
They've always been nice to me, and they all wear nice clothes.
And they are beautiful.
They're beautiful men. They love nice things.
They love to dress up, and I love a great dress as well.
They love to get silly. It's midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil all the time with them. And I'm in it with them. I'll go in it for the night. I'll go into that garden for the night.
Dale loves just like sticking her toe in the water.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Hmm. Is that your companion? She says to like, you know, that's nice.
That is so nice
Tinsley,
for you.
Tinsley, this is Ronald.
She goes, and they've been married for a long time, unlike some people I know. And then she tells...
She's used a gay marriage.
She uses it always.
Tinsley.
Comes back to like a topper conversation. Yeah.
I know someone who isn't, well...
Who used to be married to a true American prince, and now it's not. That's Tinsley, my daughter.
Funny over here, you know, it's so nice to be around a married, committed couple. Isn't that nice? With no divorce in sight.
Honoring
isn't that right,
the sanctity
Tinsley?
Of marriage and the promises that you make to each other to be married forever once you get married to the love of your life. Don't you think, Tinsley?
Isn't it amazing that two gay Americans can honor the American sanctity of the institution of marriage, Tinsley? How about that? Dennis and Ronald are doing that. Isn't that wonderful, Tinsley? Isn't that wonderful?
Think about it, Tinsley.
Think about it. Now, what did I say? Tinsley? Tinsley, come back here.
Think about it.
She goes up to Ronald. Show me a tour of your home.
Mm-hmm. Take me around.
Take me around.
Let me get a lay of the land.
Yeah. Anyway.
You people make a beautiful home.
Gay men have the best homes, Tinsley.
They really know how to entertain. Dale loves that about them.
Oh my God. That's it. They love to entertain.
They love to entertain.
So
while Dale is handling this, Paul is facing some drama of his own.
Yeah.
And his day takes a sour turn when he is alerted to the fact that Guest of a Guest is about to run a story about how he got really drunk and ripped these hideous wall sconces off of Yules's best friend Cleo's.
Who we were introduced to.
Yeah, in the previous episode, Yules and Cleo go downtown.
To slum it.
To slum it.
Yeah.
And then I guess, like, So I think Paul and Ewells are hanging out.
Yeah, they were like...
They like play totally like they hate like, each other for the cameras.
But like the night before they were like, hey,
yeah,
it's rage.
Yeah.
So they like, they definitely rage.
They fucking rage.
Paul went back and yeah, ripped all the sconces off. I love the way he says sconces.
He
is like
hated those sconces.
But the way he said it, it was like butter.
Sconces.
Sconces. So he, guest of a guest.
Guest of a guest, Cleo and Ewells called guest of a guest and they were like, guess who got fucked up and like ripped sconces off a fucking wall. Fucking Paul. Paul Johnson Calderon. Yeah. Fucking
here's my
crazy
quote. Don't say it was us.
Don't say it was us, but I just want you to know that, like, Paul fucking came to Cleo's and, like, fucking ripped the sconces off the wall.
And I'll send you, I have a bunch of photos attached of us that you can use. They're,
yeah.
They're, like, cute.
That are, like, cute, not from, like, awful angles.
There's, like, a whole, like, thing of photos of the two of them, like, enjoying each other and, like, being best friends.
Like, cheers.
Yeah.
They're, like, in a field that's, like, their senior photo shoot.
Yeah. So, Paul is like, fuck, like, I just got the best news. I'm styling Tinsley. Now I have to deal with, like, I have to style. He has to dress
Tinsley. He has Tinsley. To dress Tinsley and deal with this fucking drama on top of it. And he gets a call from a journalist who's like,
Carson
what's
Griffith
happening?
At Guess. And she's like, tell me what's going on. And
tell
he's
me
like,
what's going on. Do you have a statement?
He goes, I'm dealing with it. And that's all I have to say about that. Which was
which is great.
Iconic.
That's my new
yeah
statement to everyone and everything.
I'm dealing
about
with it.
Anything. I'm dealing with it.
Kind of rock star.
It's rock star.
Yeah.
I mean, the great news is that Paul has like turned his entire life around.
Yeah.
And
he's
so
amazing.
He's amazing. And then this is just like a blip on the radar
yeah
of his like beautiful life tapestry.
Yeah. And he's like, and he's aware of like how
he
crazy
gets
the
it
show was. And he...
I'm also dealing with it. I also like, guess what? There's another iconic, messy queen who ripped sconces off the wall, and that was Kat Marnell. So
read her book.
Read her book.
How to Murder Your Life.
It's really good.
She's
but
amazing.
Like, what is it about a sconce that really makes like a fucked up person lose their shit?
Because it has like the wires.
It's like in the wall
yeah
and it's like a light just in the wall.
And it's like you're walking by it and it's just something to pull.
Yeah.
There's something about like the motion of it, you know?
Yeah. And it's if it's really ugly, which those sconces, like, I don't know if this was actual footage of the sconces or if production just like got a B-roll of like a sconce and then a sconce ripped off a wall, but they showed these sconces.
I think
sconces
they were probably with them and they like... We're like, we can't use this footage because we could get
sued. So there was the footage of this. There was just a photo of the before and after
yeah
sconce attack.
So I think the production, the film crew was just with them and they all got drunk. And then they were like, CW was like, we could be liable for this because we were just like filming.
Yeah.
So they couldn't. But so Paul's like, shit, hope this doesn't blow up even more. He goes off to fetch a outfit for Tins.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp?
or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
And then we go to Devorah.
Devorah.
Devorah's also going to the opera.
Yeah, everyone and their fucking mother are going to the fucking opera.
Devorah is in tow with, like...
Devorah has an assistant. I can't remember what his name was.
Can you edit
this
that
is
out?
A Trenta wellness check.
Can you edit out in tow?
Yeah.
Devorah is in tow with a really hot guy. Who's
he's really hot,
gay?
Really young, TBD sexuality. TBD sexuality. But he's like... hanging on Devorah's every word, so I think that he's probably gay.
Yeah.
And like he's kind of like smiling.
Yeah. He's just like some hot gay that she's bringing around.
Who's like 10.
Who looks like he's literally 10 years old.
He's in high school.
And we were saying like Devorah's probably like, it's actually really elegant to have a 10-year-old just with you when you go to parties.
Opens doors for her. It's so like, whenever she drives somewhere, he gets out of the car and then opens the door for her.
Oh, it's probably like her assistant.
Yeah.
Or like her intern.
But he just looked really young. Yeah. It's definitely an intern. It's an unpaid intern.
He's like, looks like he's about to start laughing.
He's in the closet, but just about to come out of it. Like, he's this is Devorah. His first step. He's told Devorah, and she's like,
cool, honey.
I won't tell anyone. That's very cool of you.
Oh my God, you sound just like her. I won't tell anyone. It's honestly really...
It's
like,
really big of you to tell me.
It's really big of you. And it's honestly not that big of a deal. There are so many gay people in New York City, if you believe it or not.
Yeah.
There's actually a lot of gay people in the city.
She's like, unlike some people, I love gay people. Yeah.
So stick with me, honey. I'll show you the ropes.
And also, will you open the door next time we get somewhere?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Because I want people to maybe think you're my boyfriend.
Yeah.
So
Devorah goes to Maggie Norris Couture.
Who looks like a queen.
To get fitted for an event.
Yeah. Maggie is like, she is kind of looks like...
She's kind of doing like a Diane Keaton-esque from the waist up. It's like a shirt with a vest and like a turquoise jewel or like some kind of like... It looks like Native American or like cowboy...
Yeah.
Like Ralph Lauren kind of jewelry.
Super overpriced outfits.
Yeah.
Jewelry. And she kind of looks like Faye Resnick, but with platinum blonde hair.
Yeah.
Like she, and she has this very like Sig Chard voice. It's like kind of ASMR-y.
I'm really curious as to what Maggie Norris Couture is, because I've never heard of that. But I guess there's like a lot of couture that I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, there's
about
so many of those like weird little like showrooms in New York, like on like Fifth Avenue and stuff.
And like, I guess people just like buy them.
Yeah, like they're like just for rich people.
When you're rich, do you just like are like... You love something that's like $25,000 that you've never heard of, that's like kind of hideous.
Yeah.
And you're like, I like this.
Yeah. I bought it in like a private showroom.
That's just like what you do.
Yeah.
When you're like really wealthy.
Or Devorah Rose.
Or Devorah Rose. Well, she's borrowing.
Yeah.
Devorah
Rose is obsessed. Okay. So she tries on an outfit. She's trying on lots of corsets.
She tries on a corset that's $25,000 and a skirt that's $12,000.
It's crazy.
Which is like,
I'm sorry, but if I was going to spend that kind of money, it would be on like a designer that I've heard of before. But anyway.
But I think the reason why she went to Maggie Rogers is because I have a theory that Devora Rose is obsessed with Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
Because she's had her on Social Life magazine cover, I think, twice.
Twice.
Was... will like post about the cover like TBT.
She loves to TBT the two covers with Nicole. She even kind of, it looks like Nicole.
Yeah. And then she said to Maggie Rogers, congratulations on Nicole Kidman wearing your dress in the Vanity Fair cover.
Yeah.
So she's, I think, has an agenda.
Yeah. She's like fully on Nicole's jock and is like single white femaling her from afar.
And then she says,
she launched Social Life magazine just to get closer to Nicole.
But Nicole, like, some...
Nicole's down.
Nicole's down for DR. Like, she's been on it twice.
I love that.
She loves Devora.
Nicole, like, knows Devora is, like, a creepy fan, but still indulges.
Okay, Nicole Kidman is one of my favorite actresses. I'm, like, I worship her. I think she's amazing.
She's full queen.
She's weird.
Yeah.
If you were married, I'm sorry. If you were married to Tom Cruise for that long, like, you're going to be a little weird.
Something is amiss. Yeah.
So I think she's probably a little weird, but like,
remember,
okay.
I think we talked about this, but we can always circle back. We have a lot of circle backs on this podcast, but like that guy, that biker that ran into her on the street and knocked her to the ground.
That was so weird.
He deserves to go to jail.
I was so upset. That was like, I felt like I was watching my mom get knocked to the ground.
Yeah. I felt personally victimized. I wish that we lived in the kind of country that would cut his foot off or something like that. Because that was not okay.
You and Lindsay.
I love the Federation.
Call the Federation.
In where I come from, we cut hands off. And then
they take his foot.
One foot, one hand, one leg. It all goes.
You are sentenced. You knock Nicole down.
Lindsay, like,
the Federation will have its day.
We will rise again, but you won't rise because you won't be able to put your hand up because you won't have a hand.
You won't have a hand anymore. You abused your hand privileges.
A hand today, a leg tomorrow. Fuck with me.
The
Don't
Federation.
Fuck with me. Don't fuck with
Don't fuck with the
Federation. Don't fuck with Federation. So she says, what really sealed the deal for me with this theory that I have is when she went, do you think I could try on the corset dress that you had Nicole wearing? And Maggie's like, sure.
Yeah.
So she tries, and I think...
then she wears that
wears that fucking corset gown to
the event.
So she's
fully, like, LARPing as Nicole Kidman. Yeah.
She probably told someone... anyway, we'll get to it, but...
yeah. And Nicole.
So...
Paul... We go back to Paul... who's fully having a phone conversation. He's still like stressed about Gossip Gus drama. And at this point, this episode is kind of a bummer because it's just like Paul being followed around by a camera crew, like dining alone from place to place and like dealing with this story fallout that I think he is like truly kind of horrified by.
That Yules and Cleo did.
That Yules and Cleo, fucking Yules.
Fucking
whack ass Yules Derby.
Yules Derby. And so Paul, there's this great shot where it's like an establishing shot of the city and you hear like,
Paul go,
is it up?
Is it up?
Is it bad?
Is it bad? How bad is it?
And then he looks
okay,
at the
love you, bye. And then
fully breaks the fourth wall, looks at the camera, and just goes on the street and goes, guess if a guess is up.
He's just like trying to deal with his life, and it's hard.
I know, it's hard.
I feel for him.
It's hard for a socialite.
It's hard for Is guess if a guess still a thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not as big.
It was only its own thing. Was it part of like a network of other stuff? It's just like its own thing.
Straight up gossip.
So he's like addressing, just like talking directly to the camera at this point, which is how you know shit's going down. Yeah. Like, it's serious. The Valerie Cherish move.
It is. It's like, Jane?
Jane?
Guess if a guess is up.
Guess if a guess went up.
So Paul goes into Jill Stewart to get... he's like, you know, amidst all this drama, he's like, I have a mission. I'm going to get
He's got
to
get back on the map.
Got to get this look for Tinsley nailed.
Yeah.
So he goes to Jill Stewart. He walks up to this sales associate who has like a midsummer, like...
she's full midsummer.
Twist. Which, by the way, has amazing reviews.
Yeah, it has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah,
we're excited about
Doesn't
midsummer.
Everything have 100% that's like
not out? No, it has like
out?
15 reviews.
Oh, okay. I love that. So go see Midsommar July 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
This is not an ad. We're just telling you.
Yeah,
go
we're just
see
telling
it.
You.
We're
I
like,
wish
we're
it
gonna
was an
see
ad.
It. Yeah. I fucking wish it was an ad.
Yeah,
A24. If
hit
sponsor
us up.
The pod, I will fucking run ads for every one of your goddamn movies.
Midsommar.
Midsommar. Skull.
So Paul goes up to the sales associate. She has like a French braid and twist in her bun. And then he goes, I'm getting an outfit together for Tinsley Mortimer. I don't know if you know her style. And then the girl goes, I know who Tinsley Mortimer is. I think everyone knows who Tinsley Mortimer is, and walks away.
And then it goes to Paul in his talking head, and he goes, so this sales lady was kind of a biatch.
And we were like screaming. She was.
She was. And Paul's not here to be fucked with by like, a Midsommar bitch.
He's like, I'm hungover.
He's hungover as shit. He's like, we find out later, $2,000 in the hole to like replace these fucking sconces.
He's like, I don't have time to deal with Twist.
Yeah.
Like her attitude at Jill Stewart.
I think all of New York knows who Tinsley Mortimer is.
Yeah.
Okay, fucking fist yourself and pull some looks then.
Yeah.
And by, you know what? By the look of the looks that she pulled, she doesn't have a clue who Tinsley Mortimer
she's no
is.
No clue. She's like, she picks out like some terrible shit.
She's like a gray outfit.
Yeah. Paul's like, thanks for not helping me.
Yeah.
Walks away.
So he gets to Tinsley's.
Well, no, first he goes to like a...
Oh, then he goes to another spot.
Like a showroom.
Yeah.
This gay, like, you know, greets him. They're friends. He's like, need help immediately. So he helps him pick out like these kind of like mod downtown.
They're like avant-garde.
But they're like really drab. They're kind of like...
There's like a gorilla hair coat moment.
Like, this will be really good. No, it's monkey hair, he says, which is like...
Which is like... Is that actually like hair from a monkey?
Yeah.
That's like killed to put on your thing?
And Paul's like, great.
Paul's like, amazing.
Awesome.
At this point, he's so... This is a point in the day, like, it's turning to dusk. And you know when you're just so fucking hungover? And like, all you want to do is like binge eat. But like, a camera crew's following you around. So you can't like eat a burrito and a donut.
You want to just... Drink a
you just
want
to go to bed. Like all you can do is like drink a coffee and like try and get through the day. Then you realize that the friends you were out with the night before called an online outlet to tell them that you like peed on the floor of like a bar.
Yeah.
And then so they're gonna write about it.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile you're like having to just like have this camera crew like film you and you're so fucking hungry and like you're
you
just
overcommitted to someone.
Yeah.
Like, you're just like
you've shit like four times.
Yeah.
You've had just like,
oh my God,
my
hangover shit. Like my, I'm like, I can feel the hangover. Just
I can feel it too.
Like being at work. Like I used to go, I mean, I was like hungover every day of my life.
Yeah.
And I would just be at work, like hovering, drinking like soup. And it was
When it's like when you have to go like
Panera.
Liquid. That's a bad hangover.
It's like a Diet Pepsi and just being and like having like a baguette and just being like, oh, like, and I just all I needed was to get home.
And the day is just like time slows down to a crawl and you're like, when will this day be over so I can go home and eat an entire pizza
and fall asleep
and like wake up tomorrow still feeling like a shred hungover from this horrific day. And Paul's entering like the four shit like pizza now phase of the hangover where he's just saying yes to literally anything anyone shows him.
He's like, get me
he's
home.
Like sure. And then in the midst of this like hangover after he's had his like fourth shit in the bathroom of this like showroom, the gay turns to him and he goes, I read about you today and guest of a guest. And it's just like, God damn it.
Paul's like, fuck.
Can you not?
Yeah, I'm taking care of it. Like, you know, he's just not. It's like,
he's over it now.
He's over it. He's like, I don't want to be filming anymore. Why did I agree to this fucking show?
Yeah, everyone. This is like the halfway point where everyone involved with the show has realized that they've made the biggest mistake of their lives by being involved in the show. Paul's done. You know that the producer too told that like showroom gay to be like, bring up guest of a guest.
Yeah.
Just to really fuck with them. Yeah, while I was in the bath. So
Paul, he's like, great,
got my looks. Like, let's just get, if I can get to Midtown. Because then
Midtown.
It's, get to the Midtown, show Tinsley these fucking looks, and then I can like have a glass of wine. I can continue to drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because sometimes that's all you had to do.
Yeah.
Just keep drinking.
I know. By the time you're like out of the like shit slash like just feeling like shit hungover period, you want a glass of wine.
Yeah. It feels great.
It feels great. And so, if you're not really eating at the time, it's like, let's get a red wine is basically like clam chowder.
Yeah. A chunky red. So Tinsley, he goes to Tinsley's loft. She's like a buzz in the apartment. There's gays everywhere. She's getting her hair, like her hair done again, I guess.
I guess.
The first time wasn't.
Well, I think she was the first time, then we had to rewind. So now we're caught all the way back up. This like storytelling device that the producers really rely on.
Yeah.
Perhaps too much.
It's like a waiter being like, we're going to do things a little differently here.
Have you been here before? Yeah.
No. Well,
all right. Well, we do things a little bit differently. Which is every restaurant now does things a little bit differently, which is they all do them the same.
You're all a fucking macaroni grill.
So
Paul arrives,
and unfortunately for him, his dresses are not on brand for Tinsley.
But Tinsley, let's be real, was like, she was always going to say no.
She was always going to say no, but she did give him an opportunity to kill it.
Yeah.
But he just didn't nail it. He also picked out black dresses.
She said color.
She loves color. She wants to dress like a preschooler.
Yeah.
So like find something pink with a ruffle and Tinsley would be into it.
Yeah. So Paul shows off the monkey coat.
Tinsley, which, when you're leading with a monkey coat to Tinsley, you've already dug your own grave.
It looked bad.
I'm still like.
It looked like.
It was not a cute. I could understand maybe if the whole coat was like a monkey fur, like a statement jacket, but it was in that era where you just did like a fur collar, and only, let's be honest, the only person that can pull off the fur collar is Dale.
Yeah.
So like Tinsley, that was a firm no. Also, she touched it and she goes, you said it's monkey hair? It looks like hair.
Yeah. Tinsley's face when he's showing it, she's horrified. And there's people in the background watching.
There's one girl that's just like sitting on the counter being like,
Yeah, her like intern.
Yeah.
So Paul, there's one of them's like a sheer gown, like a sheer like.
Which was like cute. It was like separate. So I think it was like a top and then a skirt, but it was like formal and shimmery, sheer and gray. But it's like not.
A little too avant-garde. I think some of the looks would have been good for someone else.
Yeah, but it's like not.
She just wants to dress like a fucking like.
She wants to dress like she's in like pre-K.
Yeah, she's Shirley Temple.
Give her a lollipop and a ruffle.
So she's like, you know, unfortunately, I will have to get something else, so I'm going to have to call someone, but thank you for your effort, and which is, like, she was trying to be nice, but it just can't, like, Paul, you could just tell, was like, I've had a day, bitch.
Like, after this horrific day he's had of battling the hangover to end all hangovers, then to have Tinsley, like, shut him down and realize that he, like, shanked the dress challenge, it was sad.
I think he, like, fully sobered up in this moment. And was
He was like, ugh. And so then Tinsley calls PJ, the family stylist.
Who, we know when Dale needed an emergency gown for the gala, she went, PJ, I need something fast.
Fast. I need something fabulous fast.
Fast, PJ.
So PJ brings over a Marquesa dress.
Yeah.
And some jewels and shoes. And Tinsley wears those and she's never been happier.
He comes in with like a frilly pink foo-foo dress and she's like, oh, this is so good, this is what I wanted, thank you so much
girly,
amazing, you did it. And then Paul's just like,
he's standing there just like stone faced.
I love
that they did it all in front of him.
Yeah. And he says, he's like, I'm standing there like trying to hold back tears. And then the gay PJ's like, bye Paul, good to see you. Mwah. And Paul's like, good job, thank you.
Yeah. So he's just like, at least the day is over.
Yeah. So Paul's like, finally, I can go to the wine bar.
Mm-hmm.
So
then, Paul goes to the wine bar.
Well,
and
first
then,
we cut to Jules.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Jules, once again, is with Cleo. They're like living large. Paul said it well. He's like, these girls at like any press is good press for them. So they're like, hey, we're in Guest of the Guest today. It's fucking celebrate.
Paul up the fucking sconces off the wall and we're gonna go downtown to fuck with guys.
Yeah, Jules goes, me and Claire are going to a club downtown to toy with guys. It's like, what?
What do you mean?
What are you talking about?
You can go anywhere and toy with guys.
I'm gonna go down. Like, why down? Like, she's such a fucking, like, pedestrian view of Manhattan.
Yeah.
Like, downtown is more expensive than uptown. Like,
I feel like she's just like at this point repeating like voiceover like things that producers are telling her to say.
But like,
Paul ran a downtown to fight with guys.
Yeah, Cleo's like my cousin. Like weird. She's like a girl who's like, oh my god, like my family friends. Like it's just like my family. Like we're so close to that family, and like we do like crazy shit together. Like when the parents are all drinking at dinner, like. Me and like the guys and like one of the girls and my other family friends who are like my cousins too, like we head out and we like hit the town and we do crazy shit together.
Yeah, they're always hitting the town.
I don't know why I'm talking about. I just feel like, you know, those girls that are girls and guys, but like that are always like, my family's so close to their family.
Yeah. And their families are like always hanging out and you're just like, okay, we get it. Like, you have friends.
Literally. Family friends.
Family friends, and your family is like close with another family.
Like, I'd be like, they're actually my cousins. And she'd be like, well, they're like my cousins.
They're like my cousins.
Uncle Tom.
We hang out like all the time.
Aunt Elizabeth.
Can we go out?
Can we go out?
Oh my God.
I'm trying to articulate this. This is like, do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're saying.
It's like the people in school who like, they're like, they have like competitive closeness.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, we go on family trips together and like, we're so close.
I know. I was always jealous of that.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, good for fucking you. Like,
awesome. Brag about it.
Brag about it. My family goes on trips with ourselves.
Yeah. My family goes alone because we're dysfunctional and we don't want to like have anyone else bear witness to what's about to go fucking down.
We don't go.
Everyone screams at each other. We like threaten to leave. Someone has like an alcoholic break from reality. So we don't have close family friends.
We don't go on the ski trip because my mom doesn't like staying in hotels with other families.
Yeah.
She likes to stay at her she doesn't want to stay in a hotel that she didn't pick. That's why we don't go.
Yeah.
So, great. I'm glad that you're all close.
We don't have any family friends because my alcoholic stepmom has alienated us from everyone that we know and loved. So, what? Do you want to tell me more about your vacation?
Yeah. But Jules is like totally that girl.
She's like, Cleo and I are like close like my sister. Yeah.
Maybe we should cut this. Does this make any sense?
I think so.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about, but I hope people understand there's like always that person. Like you'll be at like, because like my family, we did have like family friends and we would go to like.
You are the.
But I always felt like they were like close, like their families were like, but like we're like closer.
Yeah.
You know, like you're here at the barbecue, but like our families are like closer.
There's the families that like always do shit together.
Yeah, and it's weird.
Where it's like, oh, weird. You guys are going to go hang out together.
It's like, oh, you can't be alone with
again,
your families.
Again, yeah, every Christmas it's like this. I think I'm now becoming that person, but instead of my family hanging out with another family, I just hang out with the other family.
Yeah
like my best friend's family, I went to their Christmas last year.
No, it's that is different.
Okay.
I'm talking about like
the families that just merge.
You know what? This is maybe a lost cause. If any listeners out there know what I'm talking about, it's this feeling, this particular feeling of people and growing up who used to brag about how many close family friends their family had and how fucking like,
and they're always traveling. Travel is a big component.
Yeah. And Jules loves, anyway, Jules.
Jules loves doing that with Cleo.
Having a tough day.
It's okay. We've been through a lot.
What I'm talking about?
I fucking know.
It's like, I can't articulate it. And I really wish I could. It's like competitive closeness of like people who like, they were always like, oh, they're like our cousins.
Yeah.
And they brag about it. And you're like, cool. Like, your family has more friends than like my family.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're like, we know.
We get it. Go on your fucking ski trips and
go on the boat.
Go on the boat.
Just do it.
My family didn't have lots of family friends, though. So maybe I'm reading myself.
You're reading yourself.
I wasn't like that, though. It wasn't. I always felt alienated at the family barbecue, like 4th of July barbecue,
because you'd be like, yeah, our family friends, and then someone would be like, no, my family friends.
Yeah
And then it was like,
oh, I'm not as I always felt like, oh, we're not as close.
Yeah,
like we're here, but like we're not in the inner sanctum of, you're your not fucking,
yeah, you have an all like fucking happening. Circle jerked.
Yeah, like 4th of July barbecue, like we go to our friend's house and like I would just hang out with the girls, obviously, because I didn't want to like go play fucking football. I'm sorry.
I love your aversion to football. I really respect that about.
I have my limits.
I'm not getting hit.
I would hang out with my sister and her friends and my friends who were mostly girls, and I didn't want to go hang out with the boys.
Yeah,
and
fair.
Sometimes I felt pressure to, and I did for 5 minutes, and then I was like, I want to go hang out with the girls.
Yeah.
They're more fun.
They're way more fun.
But there was always that one kid who was like, okay, I'm...
There's always one.
I'm in, like, therapy right now. Maybe cut this.
And this is like, I have a new chair, you're and like, I think that that's why it why? Is feeling like therapy.
You're in this position of, like, wisdom and power, which you
I'm
already are for
in
me.
In an Ellen, I'm, like... Is it too Ellen, this new chair?
No, you're always like a source of wisdom for me in general. Like, I talk to you, I confide in you, but like,
you're a source of wisdom for me.
But for some reason, right now, I'm like, I want to talk about like the family friends thing. And I feel like Yules is like in that. So that's, if anyone out there understands what I'm saying,
just like write in.
Maybe I'm like,
write in this time when we need you the most.
Am I having like a psychotic break where like I can't relate to reality? Is that what's happening, where it's like I say things that just don't make sense?
No, you're saying things that you
can't fully articulate.
Hey, but you are articulating it. I fully get it. I
and
see
how
you
fucking annoying that
it's
is.
Annoying. I hate people bragging about their friends and their family friends.
Yeah, just how many they have.
How many they have. Okay, we know. You traveled together. You get together every fucking Christmas, every 4th of July. You're always together. Oh my god, the fireworks. Your dads go pick out fireworks and drive them illegally across state lines.
Yeah, I'm the only boy sitting on the girl's blanket at the fireworks.
Yeah, whatever.
Fuck you. Yeah. And the girl's like, why aren't you sitting with the boys? And I'm like, because, fine, I'll go sit with my parents.
I love sitting with the boys for 5 minutes. Ugh. Just for the show element. Just to be like, okay, fine, I sat with them.
Oh my god.
Are you happy now?
We actually went on a family trip once to the Virgin Islands with like 4 other families. I actually went.
You literally are the family friend.
No, but I wasn't though. Like, we were, but we weren't. We did our own thing. But
yeah.
We went and my mom was like, fine. Like, she was like, we'll go. And we went and it was fun, but like, I felt pressure to hang out with the guys. And some of them were older than me, and they just wanted to like drink virgin pina coladas and like watch football and sports. And so I was like, I'm going to go hang out with my sister and my friends who've been my friends since I was like a baby.
Yeah.
And I don't want to hang out and drink pina coladas with you. Fuckers.
And watch sports. What is the deal?
I don't want to sit with you.
What is the deal with guys and like ESPN?
No desire.
What is it about ESPN that's so great?
I don't fucking know.
It's like stats. It's just like so many numbers just like flashing at you at the screen, and then like people swinging baseball bats. I don't get it.
I think part of it is I was like...
And countdowns.
I would always
be
like, you
moves.
Can't enjoy this. I don't believe you that you're enjoying watching what you're watching.
Yeah. Where's the entertainment?
Liar.
Where's the applause?
Where's the applause?
Where's the laughter?
But then like I remember like one night my sister and... The other girls, like, they were all in like freshman high school, eighth mm-hmm. grade, and they were like, they met up with some cute boys from Puerto Rico, and they were like, we're gonna go play volleyball with them. And they were like, Carrie, maybe sit this one out. And I remember being like, okay, and just like watching them walk off. And I went back to my parents' villa and like watched Clueless.
Oh my god, that's sad.
It was,
I feel that for you in that moment.
Talking about, maybe I'm triggered because it's the summer
and all these emotions are rushing back, and now I really do feel like a therapist, right? I feel like this is how my therapist sits in a chair.
But that was like such a formative like queer like, oh, there are limits.
Yeah,
like, do you know what I mean,
where like, you it's like you're
I,
not
I can't
gonna be able to
I
hang
can't hang all the time
and have that experience with them, but yet you also feel like you don't belong in ESPN land.
Sure as hell don't belong with those fuckers.
I love they're just downing like 1500 calorie drinks.
Yeah.
And like,
I mean, they were nice. They were like, they were perfectly nice to me. I've known
yeah,
them
but
all.
It's like,
I'd known them all for years, but like, I was just like, oh, okay.
I'm sorry, but when sports are on, I'm like, this conversation is over.
Bye.
Can someone talk to me about literally anything else?
Yeah. Let's talk about aliens.
I'd rather talk about a crack in the wall than,
than watch people like
than
a round
watch
table.
Any like sports commentators, sports in general. I like to go to sports games live.
Yeah, that's different though.
And sit close.
I was a swimmer. I was really competitive. I was like a swimmer in college. Like I'm competitive,
yeah.
But like
I played softball.
You get it.
I get it.
Hey.
Hey.
That's a truth I just learned.
I played I see you softball in a different light. From like the second I could run up until my senior year.
I bet you were great.
I was pretty good.
That's really cool.
It's powerful.
Softball players are fucking cool.
Softball players are cool.
Yeah.
Girls also like softball pitchers that pitch five is only good at that's when my softball skills really fell apart was because I could not hit a ball that was thrown at me with a severe underhand launched at me.
It was like
psychologically it was like fucking Street Fighter Chun-Li like putting a fireball to you. How can you hit that?
How can anyone think baseball like I'm sorry, you think pitching in baseball is cool? Like
pitching in baseball is NBD. I'll fucking hit the ball off of an overhand pitcher all day.
When you see a woman wind up and throw that thing with
with the force of 1,000 fires? No. I fully shanked. I could no longer play once we got into a fast pitch softball.
It's like they wind up, hit it!
Where does your eye go?
I don't know.
I'm too busy watching the arm and then a ball just flies at you with like 90 miles an hour.
How?
Who decided that women underhand have to pitch like that? Of course, they're like, hey,
yeah,
guess what?
Hey,
you think you're going to play baseball? Not so fast.
You have to dislocate your shoulder.
Like this. You have to wind up your arm 2 times and rev it up and then launch it underhand.
Oh my God.
Isn't that insane?
That is really sexist.
Like, there's actually no reason. You could just throw it like a normal pitcher.
You have to wind up like this and you have to pitch as fast as a man, but
with a
underhand.
With a woo-la-woo. Like, it's the most psychotic thing.
It is.
And I just couldn't hang. I was like, this is bullshit. I'm not doing this.
One of my best friends when I was a little kid, there were these twin girls, and one of them, Natalie, who was so cool, we were like super tight in like preschool, but she was a really good baseball player, and she was a pitcher in the boys' little league, and she was the only girl who played.
I love that.
She fucking killed it. She like struck out everyone, and
that's
she was
amazing.
The main pitcher for her team. And like they were like, shit, Natalie's on base.
Love her.
She was a queen. But yeah, the underhand thing.
That underhand thing, like, I need a documentary because I'm calling bullshit on that. Kind I would love like, to change that.
It's like cricket. Cricket.
Is that how they
it.
Pitch in cricket?
No, they like yeah, they
do.
They pitch underhand and then they hit the ball they swat it.
They're like, if you girls want to play baseball, you're going to have to play like the British, like ninnies.
Yeah. The ninnies over there, the imperialists, you know.
They're like, you can step in for our troops in World War II and play
over
normal
there.
Baseball, but once the troops are back, you're back to your underhand pitches, you old ladies.
Your birds.
You birds, get your skirts on and get out to the field.
Bats can't pitch overhand. They have to pitch underhand. I'm sorry about it, honey. You want to take it up with me? Take it up with FDR himself.
Do the whoosh whoosh pitch or it's over for you. Yeah. It's curtains. Suck my dick.
Come over here and suck my dick. You want to pitch underhand? Good.
Give her the program.
Give her the old underhand.
Give her the program, sister.
Get with the old broad. Overhand is not for you. Remember that, ladies. Oh, underhand for you. Wind up, end.
Up and over the shoulder. You better put it back down where a woman belongs, under the shoulder.
Over to the shoulder. Dislocate your shoulder. So be it.
Like, your arm could fly off out of the shoulder.
No.
There is no fucking purpose for an underhand fast pitch other than to just, like, it's psychological torture on whoever's batting. It's a whole different batting approach, too.
It is.
I mean...
Anyway, so
Jules
and Cleo go to this club. They step into the elevator.
There's just like an elevator attendant. So you know, they're like, if they're not white and if they're here to serve us in some way, we're going to fuck with them.
Jules is like, are there hot guys up there? And the guy may or may not understand what she's saying. And he just says,
seems like maybe English is a second language.
Yeah. So he doesn't really know the context of what she's saying. So he just nods. And then Jules goes, oh, do you like guys?
Do you like guys?
Fucking asshole.
Okay. Sorry. Good joke.
Yules. Sorry, Yules.
We should think of another name for her, like sassy or something like that. Or like
Eloise.
Eloise.
So Eloise, Eloise, she's, you know, trolling this elevator attendant who's like just trying to do his job. And she goes, out of nowhere, she goes, I really like well-traveled guys. That's like her talking head.
I love well-traveled guys.
And as we know from Eloise's current life, she loves to travel.
She loves travel. So she travels all over the place. She's always on the go.
She goes, Cleo likes like rocker, like grungy guys. She loves being like the sugar mama to these like poor downtown guys. But I don't. I like my grind.
Well traveled. So then, can't remember her fucking name. Okay, so then
Eloise and Cleo
are
doing bottle service, and these hot guys approach them.
They're really hot.
They're like
tall,
nice,
and hot, nice looking men.
Like they look like Ivy Leaguers.
Nice looking young men that maybe Eloise would strike up a conversation with and so, tickle their fancy.
And one of them's like, my name is Remy. And Cleo goes, oh, are you French? Because she's part French. And he goes, no, my name's actually German. And then,
the honestly,
camera cuts to Eloise. They blur it out.
You know what? I'm going to say it. The camera cuts to Jules Kirby.
The camera... Yeah, we're done.
We're done. Fuck I'm it. Actually done.
So Jules
I'm
Kirby...
I'm breaking free of the fucking shackles
fear. Don't come at us.
No, don't come at us. Actually, just like stay in your lane. Yeah, we mean you no harm.
We mean you no harm, but this is what you did. So Jules...
This is what you did on a show called High Society that you were on. You literally said these things.
You literally said these things.
You agreed to be on this show. This is actual fact.
Fact.
Fact in this scene of High Society, episode 4, season 1. This is not a slander. This is a...
Full on truth.
This is our Sheena on the beat moment where we're just on the beat.
Sheena on the beat. Sheena on the beat. Sheena on the beat. Beat Sheena on the beat. So then the camera cuts to Jules and she literally, with her fingers, does like... mustache, raises her hand and does a Hail Hitler salute vaguely. Not a full one, but she raises her hand up,
has a mustache.
What does she say?
She just goes, ar, ar, ar,
ar, ar, ar, ar, ar. And it blurs out her hand. So it's like, at first I was like, what is she even doing or saying? And then Carrie was like, I was confused because I just don't go straight to a place of Hitler, but like, you know who does? Jules Kirby. I love he didn't even say he was German. He just said, my name is German.
Yeah.
And she goes, hi, 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 hi. And then Cleo goes,
well, first you see the shots of the guys and they are legit horrified. Their mouths are like, ajar. They're like, what? And then Cleo quietly goes, Jules, stop it.
She goes, I don't know why she's saying that. And then is kind of laughing and like swatting her hands down. And then Jules
looks at her and goes, she goes, stop it. Just stop. And Cleo goes, I'm sorry.
No, but Jules goes, it's Hitler.
What? It's Hitler.
It's Hitler. It's Hitler.
Just Hitler.
It's Hitler.
And then she scolds Cleo for telling her to stop imitating Hitler in front of strangers.
She goes, I fucking hate when people tell me what to do.
She goes, stop it. And then
Cleo, stop it.
And Cleo goes, sorry.
I'm sorry.
So Cleo apologizes to Jules after she just imitated Hitler.
To a guy who said his name was Remy and that was a German name.
So
I love that Jules, a comedian, this was her shot at comedy.
Yeah, she was doing her stand-up gig
was her stand-up. She was trying out some new material.
I got a real good impression.
I got one for you guys.
You'll never guess. Watch. Who am I?
Sorry. Hitler.
Hitler.
It's Hitler.
Like, she does that all the time.
Yeah. And it's never gotten a laugh. And then I think that Jules has lived the rest of her life being like, no one understands comedy like I do.
Well, clearly. Anyway.
Anyways.
So Jules
and Cleo go back to the elevator where it turns out that they're both fluent in French.
Yeah. So Jules goes from like, she's kind of shocking. Like, she goes from
that shocked me. I turned to Carrie and I go, oh my god, she can speak French. And I was really excited. And then he was like, she shocks you at every turn. And I was like, she does.
She's just Cleo and her just like, because the guy said he's from Senegal, so
they just
like, oh, so you speak French, because
Cleo's just a woman of the world.
She's a woman of the world. She knows, she gets it. Cleo's cool, kind of. But so she and Jules and him like have this like kind of like lovely rapport in French.
Yeah.
Not lovely, but
But then Jules gets like mad that Cleo's saying that she's like really pretty and a fun girl.
Yeah.
She does not want any flirty.
No. She's like, don't talk to him.
Stop talking to him. Not Cleo. Like that.
Cleo, stop talking to him.
It's Hitler.
It's fucking Hitler. So Paul, we cut back to Paul.
Gets $2,000 wired to him to deal with the sconce drama.
He's like, I just want to, literally has a check ready to go. He calls his mom and he's like, Mom, I need this. Yeah. Explains the situation. She's like,
she's okay. Classic mom. She's like, you will have to pay for it. And it's like, okay, yeah. Like, that's why. Yeah. I love her. She really, I think she tries. Paul's mom is really trying. And I truly believe that every time they get off the phone, she believes that she's taught him like a really good lesson.
I do too.
And I love that about their relationship.
I do too. So he gets the money and he literally has a check in hand and he just literally goes from the wine bar to a mailbox to mail the Cleo $2,000.
And so he's dealt with it. Yeah. Much like he set out to do from the get-go.
He mailed a check.
I love dealing with it.
Yeah.
I'm dealing with it.
So then we cut to
Devorah.
She's getting her hair done with this gay 10-year-old and
with her assistant and then her like gay stylist. Yeah. And then she's really trying to do something like tone down her sexiness is like her big MO for this date.
So she's like, by the way, I have to tell you about my date. She goes, he's like, if the Upper East Side had a Ken doll, it would be him.
She goes, his dad is Dominique Novaka. Do you know who he is? Dominique Novaka? Because he's his son. He's the heir to the Dominique Novaka fortune.
Dominique Gavaka.
Gavaka, which goes, is like, okay.
She literally goes, so he's the heir to Dominique Gavaka. You know, Dominique Gavaka. and the stylist is like, oh yeah, like, sure.
Okay.
And she goes, so yeah, he's the heir. His dad is Dominique Gavaka. He's the heir to Dominique Gavaka.
She says this name 40,000 times.
I think it's like an Italian shoe line.
Yeah, we Googled it and it's cool. Like Italian shoes.
I don't know.
But like, who knows?
Yeah.
Not us.
But I love it. She literally said his name. Like, if you've ever needed to hear what a name dropper is, it's this moment.
It's that moment. Because she doesn't even say his first name.
No.
It's just like, this is his dad and he's the heir to this throne.
His name is Robert.
His name is Robert.
He shows up. She's like, to her gaze, she's like, if he's bad.
She goes, if you think I should go for him, tell me his suit is fantastic. Or tell him his suit is fantastic.
Then he arrives. Robert walks in.
And he's really hot. He's about 21 years old. And it literally 2 seconds after he walks in, Devorah's eager assistant goes, wow, your suit is really fantastic. He goes, what's your name? And he goes, Robert. And then you hear in the background, he goes, what's your last name? He's like, Navaka. And it was a real full circle moment. Just in case you didn't know who he was and where he comes from.
And that he's an heir.
And that he's an heir to the Gavaka fortune.
So Devorah is literally wearing a Nicole Kidman corset.
Look up Nicole Kidman on the cover of Vanity Fair and look for her wearing a beige corset. And then
fully that's single white the female
corset that Devorah Rose wore.
It's insane.
So I would wear, that's like if I went to a gala and wore Gwyneth's Oscar Ralph Lauren pink dress to a gala.
You still
which
could.
Don't put it past me.
You will.
I will one
I
day.
Want you to.
I want to wear that or the McQueen look that where her tits were out.
Oh, I love that one.
That was a really iconic and everyone shit on it, but they don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
I love that
about.
Look.
That was a truly beautiful look.
I think you should do the pink one.
Okay, I will.
Yeah.
Ralph, are you listening?
Ralph?
Ralph, friend of the pod, Ralph Lauren. Sir Ralph, are you listening? Devorah feels beautiful.
Not for long.
And she goes to the gala, and she even meets her fashion icon, Carolina Herrera.
She goes, Yo soy de Venezuela. And Carolina Herrera's like, ah, sí, sí. And then, maybe cut that out.
She
Please. Yeah. She meets, okay, so she meets, please cut that out, Laura, please.
Of course.
So she meets her fashion icon, Carolina Herrera, and she tells her that she's from Venezuela. She speaks in Spanish.
There's so many languages being spoken in this episode. They speak Venezuelan, they speak Spanish to each other.
So Carolina Carrera could not get away from her fast enough.
Meanwhile, I speak one language.
Yeah.
English. Ever heard of it?
I can kind of understand Spanish.
I can understand Spanish.
I can speak.
I can understand like French and Spanish for the most part.
Not French.
I can like get the gist of what you're saying.
Yeah.
If you're speaking French or Spanish.
If I was lost in a Spanish-speaking city, I would know how to.
You'd get out of there. So Carolina Herrera kind of gives Devorah, perhaps, the brush off.
She's like, okay, bye.
She's like, goodbye, who are you?
Tinsley's like, everyone there is really sensitive to... Tinsley is, at this point, like, I love Tinsley now, but, like, at this point, she is living in a world where everyone is thinking about her at all times.
Tinsley went through, I think, a traumatic divorce and then decided the best way to deal with this divorce would be to launch her own reality show. And then... this moment at the Met or at the opera,
we both were like, oh, she
hates this now.
She's really she's actually like
uncomfortable.
She was a real society girl who like suddenly
she
now,
really was like she girl. Was like an it girl.
And I think at this, I think she was legit like at the opera gala and was suddenly like, oh, Carolina Herrera, like she's suddenly like, oh, I'm filming a reality show.
For the CW.
For the CW, and there's a film crew following me. And she almost looks like she's avoiding the camera.
Yeah, I think she's like trying to kind of like walk fast or like run away from them. Like she's trying to do that move where she catches up to someone before they can see that a camera crew's with her. So they'll just like be chill and talk to her.
Yeah.
And then like a camera crew comes and like everyone's over it.
Yeah, I think this is where you really see like, oh, I'm fully regretting making this decision.
Yeah, like this is where she's in her head being like, I've got to get this canceled, or like I have to, something has to happen, like I don't want to do this anymore.
She's like, I should have just gone to therapy.
Yeah. I should have just gone to like St. Bart's.
Yeah.
Or gone shopping,
or like
read a book.
Yeah.
Started a book club,
went for a run,
did a 5k.
Yeah. Do a 5K.
You know, but run a marathon.
Yeah, run a marathon. Like,
raise money running a marathon. I should have just thrown an event myself.
There's a litany of things that
she
could
have done. Anything that you could think to plug into the I should have is what's going through Tinsley's head at the opera.
I love her imagining, I gotta get this canceled.
I gotta get this canceled. This can't go on.
So then
she's literally like, I think reeling from the night that Dale just showed up and she had to like deal with that drama, running around a gala, like sprinting, then to this gala where she's now like, she feels that same feeling and she's like, why do I feel like I'm being chased? Like, I don't get it. Like the chase is over and now I'm in an event and I'm wearing Marquesa and like a Brian Atwood shoe. And then she realizes the cameras are following her everywhere and she'll always feel chased as long as they're on her, and that this is the biggest mistake of her life, and that her life has fully spiraled out of control and is falling apart.
She's truly like,
and no Marquesa dress can fix,
no Atwood shoe or Marquesa dress. And she totally like, yeah, it's really fascinating that I think like she was super legit. Like, this show is probably weird for people who were in that world because they were like, Tinsley.
Yeah.
Like, Devorah, you're like, okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But like, Tinsley, you're like, what?
Even watching this show, because I was like such a Tinsley super fan.
Yeah.
And even I was here. But like, you know, I'm a girl from Oklahoma.
It's like when Carol Radziwill joined The Real Housewives,
you're like, whoa. And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
You're a princess.
You're a Polish princess.
Not a lot of land.
Not, but at least land,
you're not a Nazi.
You got a title. So Devorah and Tinsley have an encounter, and it's Devorah's like, I'm going to confront her. Like, we were really friends. She goes through like all these photos of them out with Alex, who we never see anymore.
Devorah's obsessed with Tinsley.
Devorah is fully obsessed with
Tinsley. She's almost as obsessed with Tinsley as she is with Nicole Kidman.
She's almost as
obsessed. Nicole Kidman, number one. Number two, Tinsley Mortimer.
And Devorah's like, so tonight I really hope that we can reconnect and maybe talk about like the falling out that we've had. And then you literally see them, an overhead shot of them, and they pass each other by. And Devorah sees Tinsley and she goes, it's been a long time. We haven't really. And then Tinsley goes, I know.
And then walks away. And that's the only interaction they have at the opera.
Tinsley's like, okay.
Okay, anyways. And wait, we also, Tinsley gets her own Carolina Herrera moment, which is a huge win. Carolina gives her like relationship advice.
She's like, cut it as soon as it starts getting bad, cut it, which gives you some insight into Carolina's world.
I love that.
And she goes, anything you want, you can come have. Come see me. You can have anything you want.
Call Phoebe. Yeah. If you ever need some clothes, just call Phoebe. And I love, it's like,
cool.
May we all be at the level where we can just call Phoebe and get all the clothes for free.
Tinsley can literally just get any clothes that she wants.
And I think she probably still could now. No, that was me. I was trying to be nice, but that's not the name of this fucking game.
Yeah.
She was at a point in her life where she could call any designer and be like, can I have a dress and sample like, size? And then they would be like, yeah.
Yeah.
Carolina, but that's also, you have to be her. You have to be famous and you have to be rail thin.
You have to be a sample size.
I want to just be at the point where I'm like, give me the clothes that are my size.
Made to wear, made for you to wear.
Or just like, let me go to the, I don't even need you to give me like special clothes. Like, just can I go to the store and just pick what I want, but it's free.
Truly made to wear clothes.
Yeah.
And Carolina knows.
She gets Call made Phoebe. To wear. Call Phoebe.
So then we get the awkward.
The awkward Tavora and Tinsley confrontation. But Tavora, which at this point, you know, too, Tinsley is, like, the producers were like, okay, so there's going to be, like, a showdown at this, like, opera event.
And I think Tinsley was like, okay.
And they're like, so you, Devorah's going to confront you. You're going to have a conversation with her and, like, just see where it goes. And, like, hopefully you guys can reconnect. And she's like, mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, cool. Okay. Awesome. Great. I'm done doing it. And then she killed the scene.
She was like, fuck no.
No, she's not doing it.
I'm at a gala.
What
the fuck are you even doing here?
Yeah.
And then Devorah tries to like walk past her like four times.
She's like, it's like pinball where Devorah is just like trying to come, but like somehow bounces off. And Tinsley's fully just doing like an ignore.
And her date is like, she really doesn't want to talk to you.
It's like, keen observation, 21-year-old
guy. Thank you, Robert Gavaca.
Heir to the Dominique Navaca fortune.
And he goes, she really doesn't want to talk to you. And Devorah's like, yeah, it's just so surprising. And Devorah's clearly humiliated.
Devorah's upset.
Yeah.
She immediately like goes outside to give her like on the fly interview. And she's like,
it's war.
The war is on and it's over for Tinsley.
It's over for Tinsley Mortimer.
It's like, okay.
That's how it ends. And so she like
a cliffhanger.
She's declaring war. But you can tell she was genuinely humiliated.
Yeah. I think she's really hurt by getting the brush off from Tinsley.
Because for her, as someone who probably wasn't born into that world, she like sees Tinsley as like
the peak,
the pinnacle, like, oh, like married, you know, an oil heir, like, you know, was from a wealthy, like an old money family. Like Tinsley represents everything that like she is trying to be, which she doesn't need to be.
She doesn't need to be, but it's also like she's working really hard and has made it her mission to like get into this kind of like crew. And like that's like her life purpose via like a magazine. So when she gets like the win of a lifetime by putting Tinsley on the cover and like getting her phone number and texting her every once in a while, it's the fall of a lifetime when those texts stop coming through.
Fall in the House of Devorah.
Yeah.
I think she was texting Tinsley a lot.
She seems like she could, like, she's always texting her, like, memes and stuff.
Or, like, I'm really going through, like, you know, like, trapping someone, being like, I'm really upset about something.
Yeah.
And Tinsley's, like, politely, like, oh, well.
That's too bad.
It's too bad. You should, you know.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
You should talk about it with someone.
Could you go to therapy?
Tinsley, you should talk about it with someone. And Devorah's like,
yeah, do you want to, can I call you? Devorah probably called her.
Yeah. Hey, she would text her and be like, hey, something, I just have a question about like the shoot. Can I call you really fast? And Tinsley's like, sure. Like, fuck, did something go wrong? And then Devorah's like, oh yeah, actually, I actually wanted to just like ask you like about advice maybe.
Yeah.
And Tinsley's like, sure.
And so then they like had to have like a 20-minute conversation. And then Devorah was like, we're best friends. This is my best friend.
This is Robert Gavaca.
Heir to the Dominique Gavaca fortune. His father is Dominique Gavaca, and he is the heir to the Dominique Gavaca fortune.
Dominique Gavaca.
Do you know who he is? Dominique Gavaca. That's his dad.
That's his dad.
That's his dad. And he's the heir to the Dominique Gavaca fortune.
Dominique Gavaca.
Dominique Gavaca.
So we leave off with Devorah is going to war.
Devorah.
With Tinsley Mortimer.
Is Donald Trump. Tinsley Mortimer is Iran. And Devorah has declared war.
He has his missiles pointed.
Yeah. And she's going to take Tinsley fucking down. Yeah.
She's ready to go. She's going to blast her in the airwaves. It's a society war if I've ever seen one.
And next week promises even more Jules Kirby shenanigans. Because I think this is where she iconically gets released from the hotel.
Empire Hotel.
Yeah.
And a Dale Tinsley confrontation in Newport.
I'm trying to save you, Tinsley.
I'm trying to save you, Tinsley. Tinsley.
I'm here for Dale's whole storyline.
Me too.
I need a spinoff just Dale at the library.
That's a great...
Checking out books.
Independent movie.
Yeah. It's just the whole movie takes place in 2 hours that Dale spent at the library trying to find the Nazi heritage of Prince Casimir.
She falls in love.
Should I pitch it?
You should.
I raise money, like fund it with independent producers?
Yeah.
I mean, I wish a studio would get on board because I think we could really like prime it for award season if we get a good buzz behind it.
We'll buy a billboard.
Dale at the library. We'll buy several billboards. We're going to pepper all of Los Angeles in four-year consideration billboards for Dale at the library.
FYC, Dale at the library.
FYC, Dale at the library. There's screeners. We're going to run a huge screener thing. We're going to really hit the older members of the academy. I'll go on a nursing home tour.
Everyone will get a library book as like their screener gift.
Yeah, they get a library card. Mm-hmm. So they don't even have to go and register for it, blah, blah, blah. They just get one.
I love it.
Who can play Dale?
Dale.
Starring Dale Mercer
as herself
in the iconic film Dale at the Library.
That's like when Fantasia played herself on that Lifetime movie.
Mm-hmm.
Of her
life.
Yeah.
I love it. I love a play myself.
Amazing.
Dale at the Library, starring Dale Mercer.
But yeah, so guys, just please don't harass these people.
Yeah, just like don't talk to Jules.
Send it to us.
Just send out any thoughts, feelings, emotions to us. Because I honestly, like I love to lol, and I love lolling at, but I don't love an interaction.
I don't love litigation.
I don't love any sort of, I don't love being threatened.
No.
I don't love anything like that comes in a weird email form.
Yeah.
I really have terrible email anxiety these days where it takes every like cell fiber in my being to respond to emails in a timely fashion.
Yeah.
And then when I get an email like this, it sends a lot of triggers through
my soul. I was triggered too.
So I just like, I'm like, Jules, stop emailing me.
Help us out.
Help us, babe. Please don't email me again. I really, like, I just don't. This is Jules. Actually me to you, Jules. Like, I really
please
don't.
Please don't email us again.
Please don't email us again. Just leave us alone.
We'll leave you be.
We're leaving you be. We're just talking about the show. And then once we've stopped talking about High
Society,
we'll
never speak about you again.
It's over. We'll never talk about you ever, ever again.
You can do whatever you want.
But, like, don't send me another email.
Yeah.
Please. I beg of you.
Please, Jules.
Please, Jules. Please. Yulia. Please. Yulia. Don't. Even if you're typing it right now angrily and you've been just like...
Pause.
Just pause, hit
powers
Apple
in the pause.
A, select all, and then hit the delete button, close your laptop, and just like go out to the pool.
Power and pause.
Power and pause. Thank you for being my cohort, my affiliate.
Your affiliate.
My co-host. My
I
trusted
your affiliate.
I love being you. I love you being my affiliate. I love being affiliated with you.
Me too.
Follow Carrie at eCarrieO. Follow me at Lars Marie. If you want bonus episodes, we're gonna do one. And you can find those at patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. $5 a month for weekly bonus apps where things get fucking juicy.
Things get weird.
Things get weird. We do reader mail, all sorts of shit. It's very worth it.
Love it.
I love it. I love this fucking show.
Love
I fucking
you.
Love you.
Fucking love you.
I fucking love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about...
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.